dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Part-Time Pomp and Joe. I'm out at Bowser Chevy in Monroeville, Studio B, specially built for us. What an awesome place. What an awesome place to be. And I'm a little confused, limits on the ring that apparently was spotted on Aaron Rodgers, well, on his ring finger. Or at least what would be a wedding ring finger.
Yes.
What is happening? Well, maybe we should bring on Batko instead of us theorizing on this. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted HVAC and plumbing provider for over 50 years. It's Tuesdays with Batko. All right, Brian. What happened?
Brian has a chair that is little bit rickety.
Hey, guys.
Want to get some oil on that thing, Brian?
Some WD-40. Yeah, this is an old King of the Ring WWF chair, so it's pretty old.
Gigantic. So Rodgers has a ring on his finger. What's the deal here? Is he married? Was this the personal issue he was dealing with?
I don't know. The personal issues that he talked about on the McAfee show, like, what, a month ago now, seemed more dour in nature than anything celebratory. I guess somewhere out there someone's driving around saying getting married is the most dour event you can have in your life, but hopefully we've got people with more optimism than that listening. So I don't know, it's funny, I guess, to see places like TMZ now reporting on it and how they try to dance around it. It's like Aaron Rodgers seen wearing a ring on his wedding ring finger, but we don't know if it's a wedding ring, so I wouldn't be doing any different hypothesizing on it than you guys.
What would be the bigger story, him suddenly being married now or Jordan Hudson, who apparently is telling people that she's engaged to Bill Belichick?
I'm kind of enthralled by that story, the Belichick one. I've been listening to some podcasts and doing some of my own Aaron Rodgers research on those stories when I have a minute, because it's just so hilarious to me. Hey, I guess both are rising to the level of prominent sports figures whose engagements or vows become national and international news beyond the game. But hey, we already had one new Steeler just sort of spring on us that he popped the question and his fiance said yes, and that was DK Metcalf the day that he came in to do his introductory press conference.
That's
on the
right.
South side.
Good point. Limits, I wouldn't even dream of leaving you out of this conversation, even though I can't see you. I know you're bubbling to ask.
Yes, I am. And Joe, I miss being able to see you. It makes me very sad that I'm not able to, other than on the video screen here. All right, Brian.
Wait a second. I'm on video here?
Yeah, you're on video on the Studio B video stream.
Oh, my God.
And then I come up on video by myself when I'm talking. So
okay. I'll have to be a little more careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was funny was so where Rodgers was apparently spotted wearing the ring this time, I guess this first popped up at the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks ago, but this latest one was at the concert of a performer. I'm not really sure if he's a rapper and singer, named Mike, formerly Mike Studd, but now he just goes by Mike. And I think it would be a great callback to Aaron Rodgers and some of his most famous COVID rants, if someone said, Aaron, are you still communicating with the Steelers? And he just answered by saying, I've been in contact with Mike.
Limits your reaction to that?
Response.
It's like when Jaden Smith, Will Smith's son, now just calls himself Jaden as a rapper name.
Really?
Is it similar to that, Brian?
I guess, you know, rebranding. I don't really know.
Are we at the point where Aaron Rodgers just has to sign now, to the point where, I mean, do you believe the people's theory that he does have a playbook and that the Steelers have basically just given him all the keys, they just haven't put pen to paper yet?
No, I don't think it's that far down the road. And I sort of defer to to one Ben Roethlisberger on this. I mean, he said on his own show that he thinks that would be strange, and I think he even used the word stupid of the Steelers if they did that. So I don't know. I know there are a lot of fans wondering, is there a quote-unquote handshake deal in place? I think they feel very good about Rodgers coming, and I think that's actually more likely than they're completely in the dark and waiting on word from him. But I don't know that I would say it's that much of a lock. I'd say it's more like 80%. The situation you just described there, hypothetically limits, I feel like would be basically a 99% chance.
Brian, Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns, has been covering them for a long time, says Kenny Pickett is the front runner headed into training camp. I'm not sure we've given this story enough oxygen here. Is Kenny Pickett going to walk into Acrisure as the Browns starter this season?
Well, is he going to keep the job in time for that Week 6 game? If he is, I don't know. Let me pull up the Browns schedule.
I mean, this is incredible.
I agree. To your point, they open against the Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, and Vikings. He might be the sacrificial lamb before they turn it over to one of the rookies. That might be his main job there. The Mitch Trubisky of his time. Time is a flat circle.
You might be right. Is Deontay on that roster?
Yes, Deontay's on this roster. Devin Bush is on this roster. The Bizarro Browns are hilarious to me.
Wow. This would really come full circle if in like game 5, Kenny Pickett had an argument at halftime with Deontay and Joe Flacco got the job or Dylan Gabriel came in. That might be even better. So what happens here? How do you imagine that
throws a touchdown to Deontay Johnson and then Devin Bush has a game-sealing pick 6 to beat the Steelers at Acrisure Stadium?
How does that play out, honestly? Like, I saw Tony Grossi was complimenting Dylan Gabriel. They took Dylan Gabriel in the 3rd round.
Yeah, that is, to me, probably the most bizarre pick of this entire draft. And I actually like taking Shador in the 5th round, but it becomes more nonsensical when you take Dylan Gabriel the night before. So I don't know what's going on with the Vikings. Maybe their GM is not as sharp as we thought. I do still tend to think Kevin Stefanski's pretty good at his job, but maybe he's just getting jerked around there. As far as Kenny Pickett starting, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy week 1 because they did trade Dorian Thompson-Robinson and what was it, a 5th for him, I think, to the Eagles, which is pretty fascinating in its own right that, starting 1 or 2 games for the Eagles on their Super Bowl run all of a sudden made Kenny appealing to Cleveland and whatever they're trying to do. But, I think if you're looking at it logically, remove all your biases about Kenny and whatnot. But what makes the most sense? See if there's anything left in a first round pick from a few years ago. See if there's any untapped potential there. If that doesn't work, go to the next rung of the ladder, which might be Joe Flacco at age 49. And then if that doesn't work, go to the next rung of the ladder, which is seeing what you have and whatever rookie makes the team, or maybe both Gabriel and Shador will be there. Who the heck knows?
I mean, the prospect of revenge games on both sides of the equation here, it's almost a week-by-week thing. We're going to have the Najee Harris Bowl, which is the same week as the Dante Jackson Bowl, I might add. Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, the DK Metcalf Bowl in week 2, and Deontay Johnson. This is all over the place, Brian.
Yeah, those are all pretty juicy. It does make for a fun schedule. That's like when I was saying when the schedule came out last week, which I guess we haven't discussed yet on our Tuesday hits here, is I'm a little bummed the Jets are the week 1 game because week 1 is always exciting no matter what, even if it would have been, say, Steelers-Colts in week 1 or Steelers-Dolphins. I mean, you're going to have a level of anticipation to see what a new-look roster can do. So if you would have stuck the Jets just randomly in week 9, that still would have been a lot of entertainment value with Fields, potentially Rodgers in there. So now it's just doubly exciting, I guess, to get those two teams playing to kick off the season.
And you haven't even mentioned the Bob Spillane Bowl, week 3 against the Patriots. That's going to be incredible with Josh Dobbs also on the Patriots. It's everywhere.
Yeah, Spillane, he's already gotten the chance to play against the Steelers when he was with the Raiders. But yeah, he seems very much like the kind of guy who will go there, assimilate into the Mike Vrabel Patriots culture, and probably rack up like 20 tackles in a win against the Steelers week three.
Nor was I thinking, oh, no, they don't play them this year. We could have had an Alandon Roberts Bowl. Anybody I'm not thinking of? Does Miami have any former Steelers or vice versa?
Let's look down. Limits? I mean, I'm sure they do, but nobody who's really jumping out to me.
Yeah. Limits? Anything either way there?
Is there anybody on the Buffalo Bills?
Do they really have a player, the Dolphins, Brian, named Storm Duck?
Yeah, it's a shame he didn't get to play against Duck Hodges. I mean, that could have been, really everywhere. Memorable.
Wait a second. The Miami game is the Artie Burns Bowl. He's still in the league.
That's incredible. That's kind of the funny thing about these Steelers first-round picks that have been busts. For the most part, they haven't washed completely out. A lot of them are just hanging by a thread and clinging to NFL employment. But, yeah, that's one. And Darius Slay, he will face the Lions, his former team,
that's
in Week 16. So I'm just spitballing here.
Storm Duck used to play at Penn State, Joe.
did he?
Mr. Duck.
Now, if Storm Duck were to get hurt, Artie Burns could waddle his way right onto the field and start that game, Brian.
Is Storm Duck a projected starter?
Yes, he's their left cornerback. Artie is projected as a nickelback, but if Storm Duck gets hurt, or is Jalen Ramsey, has he been traded yet? I don't think so.
I will say, I mean, the Dolphins coming here in December, that might be a good time to have a Storm Duck. I mean, he might be a little bit more equipped for the weather before he migrates south again.
Better name, Storm Duck or Easton Stick?
Storm Duck, not close.
James Daniels also plays for the Dolphins, I might add. They're everywhere, Brian.
There's a good revenge game. Yeah, hopefully he's able to get back healthy. I always liked James Daniels. I enjoyed my interactions with James Daniels. He's a very unique
nice
soul
man.
In an NFL locker room.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, I'm going to look at every team's roster while Limits continues to ask Brian Batko questions, and then I will inadvertently and suddenly interrupt the conversation if I see something surprising. Limits?
Joe, I appreciate that. Brian, curious your thoughts with mandatory minicamp coming up. What is in a couple of weeks, what is the one main thing that you are keeping an eye on?
Well, OTA starts next week, and, I mean, your mileage may vary on what to make of that and who is or isn't there. But I mean, of course we always are going to look around and see, all right, which guys are sitting this one out because it's voluntary and which guys are doing the most, you know, just to try to be seen and get on the same page. And, you know, I've said many, many times now on this show and others, I think it always helps to have your starting quarterback there. Russell Wilson was there last year at this time. I even remember, you know, I didn't cover a ton of Ben Roethlisberger. I guess I was on the beat for his final four seasons, but, you know, one of those he went down in week two and another one was COVID. It was all Zoom. But I remember him coming back to OTAs after the Mike Tomlin cleansing, as he put it, with Antonio Brown being gone and Le'Veon Bell being gone. That was kind of a big deal because I suppose he wasn't always there earlier in his career. So this is going to be Mason Rudolph's time, I guess, to really get up to speed and more exciting.
We have a new one, Brian. We have a new one. The Buffalo Bills are employing Kendrick Green.
Larry Ogunjobi, too.
And the Ogunjobi Bowl. Did you know Kendrick Green was their limits?
No, I had no idea, but that's also a Tyler Matakevich revenge game against Buffalo with the Steelers.
No, he's gone. He's gone.
He didn't come back.
Carson Bruner, yeah.
Where is Cam Sutton right now? Limits. I mean, Brian.
He's currently unemployed.
Oh, okay. Well, this will be the Kendrick Green Bowl because Ogunjobi. Wait, is Ogunjobi on that team?
Yeah, he's on the Bills. He suspended the first six games of the season.
That's why. Yeah, that's why he's not on the depth chart. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, please proceed. I interrupted you. Oh, my God. It's also the Mitch Trubisky Bowl, and also Mike White of the Post-Gazette is their third-string quarterback.
Imagine the stories that Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph can tell at the bar one day about the, I guess it would have been about 6 or 7 months, that their top three receivers were Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and George Pickens.
Right,
that must have been
that.
A fun time.
You're right about that. And I think those three guys are buddies limits. They've gone on fishing trips.
I think they
together.
All get along really well.
Or at least boating trips. I don't know if fishing actually takes place.
Joe, can I continue to ask Brian questions?
Yeah.
Amari Cooper, Brian, or Keenan Allen? And who is more likely to come here and who would you sign?
I think Keenan Allen's probably a little bit better player. I don't know that either of them are particularly likely. The Robert Woods signing, it didn't move the meter at all for me personally, but I just had in the back of my head at that time, well, that it's not like this is a complete no-name guy. I mean, the Steelers are still signing someone with real NFL experience, was on a team last year. It's not like he's been out of the league and he's trying to claw his way back through rookie minicamp or something. I mean, I don't think he's got much left in the tank, but he's closer to those guys that you just named than, you know, someone on a futures deal. So we know they turned around and traded George Pickens a week or two later after that Robert Woods deal. So my concern with that, dear limits, is that once again, they might kind of be missing the mark of there's a middle ground between the Robert Woodses and Van Jeffersons and Allen Robinsons of the world and trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk or Chris Olave. And I don't think they've done a great job of threading that needle.
If either of you can name the Colts' fourth-string quarterback, I'm taking you out to a steak dinner. Brian, limits, anybody with a guess?
Shane Ellinger. Oh, no. We both guessed the same name. How about that?
No, it goes in order. Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, Riley Leonard as the third stringer, and a man by the name of Jason Bean as their fourth stringer.
Ooh, he went to Kansas.
He invented Jim Bean.
Ooh. I was just, no, it's Bean as in Beanstalk.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, Jason and the Beanstalk in this case. I was about to ask if you can name his college, I'll also give you a prize. But Brian, you jumped the gun and you lost out on a prize. Go ahead, limits.
All right, Brian.
I think Jason Bean will probably be a GM someday. I mean, that name, I know it's spelled differently, but we've had Billy Bean, we've had Brandon Bean.
Yeah.
I think he's destined for front office greatness.
How do you feel about jelly beans?
I like them. I don't seek them out, but I don't mind them.
That's a great way to phrase that. I do like them, but I never, ever seek them out. But if they're there and they're fresh limits, they can be quite a refreshing treat.
They sure can be. It just depends on the time of day. Kind of like watermelon, because watermelon is very good in the summer. But I don't eat watermelon on like Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's.
Good point. Great point, actually. Yeah,
thank you.
I disagree.
No, you eat watermelon in the heart of winter, Brian?
Watermelon flavored jelly bean, sure. Even the fruit, I think, is good for all seasons if it's not like, you know,
the fruit
kind of nasty and not, you know, in season. But no, I think you missed the mark with that one.
Can either one of you get, where is Easton Stick? He's not on the Chargers anymore.
The stick figure.
Limits, look him up. The stick figure is gone. He might have. It's Justin
he's
Herbert.
Gone east, finally.
Is he in the UFL? Oh, he's on the Falcons.
Is he their primary backup?
No, they have Kirk Cousins and they also have Penix, so he's their third string guy.
So the Chargers are Justin Herbert, Taylor Heinicke. Can anybody give me their third stringer? Wrong. Trey Lance.
I would not have guessed that. I had no idea he was out there now.
And then there's another steak dinner on the line if you give me their fourth stringer going into camp. He's actually was a pretty well-known college quarterback. Limits?
Say, Carson Wentz.
The guy from TCU, Max Duggan.
Oh, that's a good pick.
No, it's DJ Ugalele.
Oh, DJ Uyunglele from Clemson.
Yes, he played the ukulele there as well, Limits. He went from Clemson to Florida State. He was their fourth stringer.
Yeah, he wasn't very
good. I remember
good.
3 years ago, when he was at Clemson, I thought he was going to be like a no doubt slam dunk number one overall pick in the draft.
Me too. Anyway, go ahead, Limits. I'm sorry.
It didn't happen. Brian, more scuttlebutt with the national media last week with Peter Schrager saying that, you know, Mike Tomlin will get hired in an hour, and basically the same thing that we saw with Mike Sullivan. What boat do you fall in here? Because I think we all were under the perspective that Sullivan had to go and a change needed to be made for the sake of change. Now, I know that it's clearly May and there's this whole season to play, but if things continue in this direction, could we realistically see Tomlin just kind of get up and say, all right, this is it for me?
Yeah, I don't think that's that outlandish to suggest. I mean, look, every year that he's on this job, I think he gets closer to not being on this job. I mean, these NFL head coaching roles do not have the shelf life that maybe they used to an era ago. I mean, it's a pressure cooker. And I do sort of wonder if the negativity gets even worse than it is now, how long can any one human absorb that? I think Mike Tomlin's already probably better at dealing with some of that than your average coach. But man, if they do finally have a losing season or, you know, a really bad season, would he just decide, okay, I've pretty much done all I can do here. There's no getting back over the hump. Let's either accept a new challenge with a different team or go the network route and have a lot less stressful life for a while, or maybe forever.
Definitely nobody can give me the four-string quarterback for the Packers. Again, a steak dinner on the line. I've never, ever heard of this man.
Sean Clifford.
Taylor Elgersma.
Sean Clifford is what? You looked it up.
Yes. No, I'm sitting here. I think Austin can see me.
I can, yes. I can see Brian, and he did not.
There's no way you even knew of a man named Taylor Elgersma.
Sean Clifford is their third-string quarterback.
He is their third-string quarterback. This dude was from the college I've never even heard of, Wilfrid Laurier.
Oh, you've never heard of Wilfrid Laurier?
It's a Canadian college. It's their equivalent of the NCAA. It's called U Sports, and he was like the Heisman Trophy equivalent of that league this year. He actually got invited to the Senior Bowl, which I believe is a first for a quarterback from that Canadian collegiate sports organization. And obviously he didn't get drafted, but I think they had him in for a tryout, and Elgersma must have lit it up. Matt LaFleur wanted to sign him.
He's from London.
Ontario.
Yeah. London, now, Ontario.
Did you think it was London, the real London limits? This is a test for your early onset Malzahn disease.
Yeah, I did until I said I saw O-N for Ontario. Right.
Okay.
There's no London, England that was listed there.
Good to admit it. I also see where they have a fourth-string safety named Jonathan Baldwin. I didn't know if he had converted to safety, and that got me thinking about him, the former Pitt star who would only be 35 right now, Brian. That kid was so talented. Where anybody know what Jonathan Baldwin is up to these days? Limits?
Yeah, I kind of do, actually. Somebody texted me a week or two ago that I think his son is a prospect of some repute in high school football and was
in
taking
Pittsburgh?
A visit somewhere. Could be Indiana, the Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Which would make sense because a lot of those guys over there on Kurt Cignetti's staff probably played with Baldwin at Pitt. So, yeah, he was a stud athlete. Good basketball player, too, but obviously a freakish football player, and it's a bummer he didn't work out.
Sure is. All right.
In the NFL. He had a great college career at Pitt.
Is he in Pittsburgh? Does the kid play in Pittsburgh?
I don't believe so.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye, Brian.
Wonderful man. Yes, Limits? Always very relaxed and informative.
He's a wonderful man. I wanted to ask him one additional question, but I'll throw it to you instead.
What was that?
If you were to go to the Bill Belichick Jordan Hudson wedding, who
yes.
would you bring with you, and what would you expect the meal to be?
Great question. Why don't you save it for the Limitless Express coming up
Let's
next?
Let's do it. Yes.
Would you like that?
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's pretty good, Limits. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm going to start the Limitless Express.
Oh, sabotage right off the bat.
No. And I'm sorry for this. I was just singing about you and Mall Cop Paul Blart, which I never do, right?
No, not once. Wait, maybe I should meet Paul Blart, considering we've talked about him so much.
We were just talking about Jonathan Baldwin, whatever happened to him. You got a text. He just got into the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame. This happened two or three days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, very recent.
I'm reading
recent.
A story in the Beaver County Times. He's part of their 50th anniversary class. I mean, this is incredible. Of all people, I hadn't thought about Jonathan Baldwin in a long time. And it's so cool. There he is. He looks great. He's part of a great class of athletes, coaches there. Lance Jeter is another one. There he is, Jonathan Baldwin, and getting quoted. Let me see here. Jeter and Baldwin became the 80th and 81st members from Aliquippa to be inducted into the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame. And there he is, John Baldwin. If you're out there, if anybody out there knows him, have him call the show. I'd love to interview him right now, Limits. 412-928-9370. He said it means a lot to be able to continue the tradition. There have been a lot of great players to come from Aliquippa, so to have the honor to be inducted is a wonderful thing. And what an athlete he was there and at Pitt as well. But there he is. How about that? We're just talking about him. The club at Shadow Lakes in Aliquippa is where they had their induction ceremony from three nights ago, Limits. Can you believe that?
So many great athletes that came out of Aliquippa that are in the Hall of Fame. It's just so impressive.
So cool.
They have more Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famers, than some like big time cities.
It's unbelievable.
That strictly come from Aliquippa.
It truly is. You're up, my friend, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no worries at all, Joe.
Look at this. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Lance Jeter joined his mother, Joy Jeter, in the Hall of Fame, making them the first mother and son duo. How incredible is that, Limits? Can you get them on the phone tomorrow?
The unbelievable stats just continue, Joe. That's a great line there.
Wait a second. What sport was hers? She was in 2005 inducted into the Hall of Fame. He, of course, played at Nebraska, right? Beaver Falls in Nebraska. Am I right about that? Limits, help me out here.
Yeah, I think she was Nebraska.
She was here. It says she was a basketball star in her own right at Beaver Falls and was at a loss for words when her son joined the Hall of Fame. This is awesome. Can you get these people on the line, please, Limits, for later in the week?
I can sure try.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
No worries at all. Chase Daniel made a post with Dean Blandino saying, don't be surprised when the Tush Push gets banned either today or tomorrow, and that it's probably going to happen. If the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, I bet this conversation isn't happening. What do you make of that take from Chase Daniel?
He's probably right about the second part, and I don't know if he's right about the first part. I'm so sick of this topic, and the Packers just look like losers. Like I said yesterday, the whole Tush Push debate has become the Wuss Push debate because of the Packers. You know, find a way to stop it. The Eagles are really the only team in the league that does it to the degree they do it. Quarterback sneaks in general are almost unstoppable. Almost. So who cares if you have people pushing from behind? I don't.
No, I don't either. I completely want them to keep the play. Don't just punish the Eagles for being good at something.
Right.
Don't. It's not worth it. Diana Russini reports, one interesting note from a general manager that I spoke with on the Tush Push, Green Bay is the only team without a principal owner, which is what we know, but this general manager believes, according to Russini, that the Packers proposing the rule change softens the appearance that another owner is staunchly against the play, even if other teams support it. So this general manager Russini talked to thinks that there's another GM that is basically making the Packers like the face behind this at the owners' meetings voting on this, but it's really someone else. Could that be Jerry Jones potentially putting the Packers to the forefront of this instead of himself, or the Maras, or somebody else in that regard, do you think? Like a rival of the Eagles?
I have no idea what you just said.
What a conspiracy theory that could be. What
next.
What I'm trying to get
at
there.
What you said. What are you saying? That somebody else is using the Packers
yes.
to get their. It's not limits. Somebody runs the Packers. It's not like they this other GM tells a bunch of Packer fans, hey, I'll speak for you. They have people running their organization.
Yes, they do. But they're without a principal owner. They're without one main person that can walk into that room with the authority that all other 31 other owners have for decisions. That's at least what Russini is saying. So
next.
According to Jordan Schultz of Fox, Shamar Stewart of the Bengals, their first-round pick, he is not going to take part in phase two of offseason workouts today. There's a disagreement over the language of his contract and his rookie deal. The Bengals are just making more problems for themselves.
What are they doing? They have Joe Burrow. I realize they brought back his receivers, and good for them. But they drafted a kid who's a pass rusher who, like, never had a sack in college, practically. And now this, and Hendrickson, and everything else, they've got a golden... It's kind of like the Pirates, it reminds me of. They have a golden goose there. Take advantage of it, for God's sakes.
The fact that the Bengals just cannot get defense right and are right now neglecting it with their first-round pick that had, what, 4.5 sacks in college last year or in his entire career... It just kind of shows that they don't really know what they're doing on that side of the ball. Next, the Joel Klatt Show with Joel Klatt of Fox, if you couldn't have guessed that. He has ranked his top 10 college quarterbacks for the class of 2025. Can you name the number one quarterback on this list?
Yes, Drew Aller.
No, it's Cade Klubnik of Clemson. You really thought it would be Drew Aller because I would throw that out there for Penn State propaganda, but you were wrong. Arch Manning is number two from Texas.
Yes, give me the top five if you'd be kind. So kind.
John Mattier, I might have pronounced that wrong, from Oklahoma is three.
That's another good sign of your battle against early onset Malzahn disease is to immediately recognize a possible mistake, simply admit it, and move on.
Well, I'm very glad that we could point it out to the audience there. Not to make myself look bad, but to acknowledge, just in case I am, don't go too hard on me. Sam Levitt of Arizona State is four. Aller is five.
Like
and Garrett Nussmeier, who is going to be talked about a lot next year, I think, too, is six from LSU.
And if you had to pick one as the next quarterback of the Steelers, who would it be, Limits?
It would be
one of those six.
It would be Arch Manning, and then it would be Drew Aller followed.
No, if you like the one that you think will actually be the Steelers' next quarterback.
Either Aller or Nussmeier, I would probably lean towards Nussmeier.
Is he related to Paul Nussbaum from our sales staff?
That's possible. If they changed a couple of letters on the way, missigned a marriage certificate.
We have to go because Michael McHenry is next. That was wonderful.
Thank you for allowing me to indulge you in the Limitless Express.
Anybody out there, May 20th. What year is it, Limits?
2025.
Anybody out there?
1998, what'd you say?
Yeah, Jonathan Baldwin, if you're out there or anybody knows you, call in either today or tomorrow. We'll set up an interview with Limits, and certainly the Jeter family, Joy and Lance, would love to hear from you. Thank you, Limits.
Thank you, Joe.
I have some reads to make here.
Yes.
I'm out at Studio B. Bowser Chevy in Monroeville, always an awesome place to be. The people here are very, very welcoming. And I enjoy myself out here, and I may even go over to Totter Ridge and play a little golf after the show. How do you like that, Limits?
I hope you shoot well.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.